Mr. Pop.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard more poor losers than these two?
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
Start your engines, gentlemen. Here we go. Another week of Ruck and Roll is upon us, and we go to all points of the globe. Let's start. We go from the penthouse with Brian Mannix.
Hi, Kev. Mark, I'm overtired. I'm cranky and not in the mood for any shit. So I don't know how this is going to go tonight.
And to the cookhouse.
This show is full of shit.
It is. And now from the penthouse to the cookhouse, Mark Fine.
Hello, boys. Great to be with you. Looking forward to the program, despite what's about to happen. Yeah, we're up and running.
Yes.
So, yeah, good fun.
And from the cookhouse to the hothouse, because everywhere in Victoria has been pretty hot, and my home is no exception, 37, 8-ish degrees all around the state. So if you've been sweltering and sweating and, you know, generally feeling uncomfortable, then you're just like me. But you've probably got more on the footy tips than I did, and we'll get to them shortly.
Oh, do we have to talk about it, Kev?
I wondered when your little voice would squeak through and something would... when the footy tips might just prick your ears up. We'll get to them in a minute.
Look, it's early days, but I'm kicking your ass.
If people could be privy to the text messages that have been flying about since about, it started on Friday night when the first of the text messages arrived saying, I've got 13 points, I think. Now, I never hear from Brian on a Friday, not particularly when he's doing a gig somewhere, but clearly, you know, Carlton got up in the last breath and Brian decided that he'd let us know. And then on Saturday afternoon during the Suns, after the Suns game, went to check and see how everyone was going. It was very magnanimous of you, Brian, to check on the welfare of myself and Mr. Fine. And then after the Collingwood game when the Pies got beaten, well, then the tirade started. Then the avalanche of ecstasy started to descend upon myself and Mr. Fine.
Some crowing, do you think?
Some, just a bit. Well, we'll get to the tips in a minute. We've got a terrific chart from 1969, March 14, 1969. I'll give you the top three in the tips. The podium finish is Hillier, Fine, Mannix. What order they're in, I'll give to you in a tick. But the top 10 from March 14, 1969. Number 10, Indian Giver by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Number 9,
Try getting away with a song called Indian Giver today, not for God's
work.
Sake.
Number 9, Monsieur Dupont by Sandy Shaw. Number 8, Feeling So Good by the Archies. Number 7, Games Football Play by Joe South. Number 6, Build Me Up Buttercup by The Foundations. 5, Stand By Me, Tammy Wynette. 4, The Doors, Touch Me. 3, Edge of Reality, Elvis Presley. 2, Something's Happening, Hermits, Hermits. And number 1, Crimson and Clover by Tommy James and the Shondells. What a unbelievable, that is, every food group is in that top 10.
I'm going to say something.
Okay.
For a 1969. Well, for a 1969 chart, I mean, we know that to our taste, at least, music was just magnificent then.
Yep.
I reckon this chart, of course, has some great songs, but it has got a lot of ribble in it, I tell you what.
Oh, no, it has. Absolutely. This was my bread and butter, 1969, 13 years of age, thinking about being a radio person, loving music, you know. I'd realised at that stage, not going to be a rock star, unlike your good self, Brian. Not going to be a rock star. So what can I? Oh,
when am I going to realise that, Kev? That shame. Get that epiphany. Yes. Nah, I'm not going to be a rock star.
No, there's a lot of bubblegum crap in this, and a lot of really hokey country stuff.
Yep.
And some songs by some people, like really big ballady things that were just really ordinary too, but. The cream and the
right.
And the kind of quirky 60-ish songs, because it was the end of the 60s, well, they'll run out of ideas. They're classics. They're absolute classics. So we'll get to them shortly. All right. What else? Oh, we got some sport, other sport to talk about, but because it is important and because I don't want to crush it at the end of the show because we've got, you know, other things to do, let's get to the footy tips.
Oh, do we have to, Kev?
Yeah, okay. Brian, 20, Viney, 3, Hillier, 0, 0, zilch, zippo, none. There you go. Big fat quack.
How long do you reckon this will last with me being in front?
Not long. I'll be surprised if you're still in front next Sunday night.
Listen to my voice. I sound like Robert Kennedy Jr. tonight.
You sound like you've been barracking for your footy tips all weekend. That's what you sound like.
All the yelling at you guys, yeah.
So Brian got the maximum you could possibly get with the Swans, Carlton, Suns and the Giants. Finally, you picked up your three through the Suns, and I didn't get any. Richmond, I will say, we do this on a Monday night. Probably if I'd had a look at the Richmond team, I wouldn't have picked them in a fit, to be honest. But the rest, you know, Melbourne could easily have won that game. We know that Carlton could easily have lost that game that they won in the end, and Collingwood had their chances. So
that was a great game of footy.
Well, can I just say, Brian, this whole round zero was set up specifically for the benefit of the northern states, and Finey and I, in a big gesture on our behalf, made sure that the northern states benefited even in the footy tipping.
And as a representative of the northern state.
Correct. That's right.
Let me win. You let me win.
We
okay.
did. We did. Lenny's Fine Foods is a place that embraces the theme of football and of life in general. And there you go. That's what Finey and I offered you up this week.
Well, I was actually telling people about what Finey said last week about the bolognese. When he was making some bolognese, so you got to put it in the fridge for 2 days.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know why that was relevant, but
yeah,
I just
it was. Thought. So, yeah, look, the flavour go through it. It's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know why I mentioned it in the middle of the footy report.
Yeah, no, I do want to mention, you've just reminded me of something I saw on one of your Facebook posts on the weekend, Finey. That slicer you've got, my God, isn't that a unit?
Oh, boy. It's a ripper.
Isn't that a unit? Oh, yep. I was watching it on the little reel thing on the Facebook thing going, oh, I'll play it again. Oh, play it again. It was fantastic. Mind you, when you get no footy tips right for the weekend, you're looking for things to find joy
but,
in.
Finey, how much is a circumcision with the slicer?
For you, free.
I think I need a bit of a trim.
We'll get to the actual tips in a moment, but there's a few other little bits and pieces I wanted to touch on. We'll get to the Deathalyzer as well a little later on. Anything else? Australia had a very good win in the test today in New Zealand. I watched the end of that. Kind of good.
Yeah, great win.
It was a good win.
Don't know how to beat us in New Zealand. They look like they had us down to rights.
They did. And when he got those two where he was on a hat-trick, the big New Zealand Brick. Fast bowler, Sears, I think his name is.
Yep.
Yep. He got two and two balls, and I thought, oh, hello. They are on here. But then to his credit, two blokes in this test who haven't hardly scored a run all year, Alex Carey and Manus Labuschagne, were the saviours for Australia in the first and second innings. And Pat Cummins did a very good job with the bat in the second innings, I have to admit. I'm not his biggest fan, but he did very, very well.
Speaking of Sears, I asked my friend to go to Cox's and get me a seersucker suit.
Yeah, okay, fine, thanks.
Unfortunately, she went to Sears.
Right, okay. Jimmy Anderson's 700th test wicket, Finey. Do you rate him is he in your top five best fast bowlers for you?
Not in the top five, but he's a great bowler.
Oh,
so, top five's a bit much. My top five would have Dennis Lilly.
Yep.
Mate, probably Glenn McGrath and three West Indians, but he's not far behind.
Yep. And that's probably been a bit unkind to blokes like Dale Steyn and some of those more modern.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's Richard Hadley must be in it.
Yeah.
Maybe ahead of McGrath. So,
oh, geez, that's a hard one. Ooh.
I'd go Hadley, McGrath. I mean,
I don't know. Lily would be my number one, but yeah.
Lily Hadley.
Yeah.
It's just hard not to have Michael Roberts in it. Michael Holding, yeah, Andy Roberts. Yeah,
me too. And I love Malcolm Marshall. Jeez.
Malcolm Marshall. Ooh. Kirtley Ambrose, yeah. Noel Garner.
Big Joel, yeah. Can you put 25 in the top five?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, he's 700 wickets, so he did exceptionally well. What else did I want to mention? We got that. Mitchell Starc passed Dennis Lilly on the best of list, which he wouldn't be ahead. He's a left-arm fast bowler, and I love them by, you know, just because I love left-arm fast bowlers. But I wouldn't have him above Lilly. And I still think at some stage, I don't know when or if it will ever happen, probably not in our lifetime, but they've got to put those bloody World Series cricket wickets.
Yeah.
They've got to be added in. Lily's well way past 317 or 24 or whatever it is. Now, the other question I wanted to ask Finny is, how did Friday night go? I admit I didn't hear it. Brian was doing a gig, so he didn't hear it either. So how'd you go?
Look, it was great fun. Took me about 15 minutes not to be sort of conscious of what I was saying. I felt like I was when I did radio for the first time for about the first 15, 20 minutes, but then I got back into my rhythm and it was, you know, just like riding a bicycle. I just got on with the business. Look, you know, it was a full board of callers and a million SMSs and most of them were well wishers. So we'll get all the niceties over round zero. And I reckon within a couple of weeks we'll be back to the old style, but it was great fun and enormous support from the public out there. You got so many of the ex-callers, old callers calling in.
Yeah.
Margaret from Sunbury rang in. She was fantastic.
Did you abuse anybody?
No.
Oh.
No. There was just too many well-wishers. Oh, that one person called me a dog off the SMS.
Oh, really?
I said, get your facts straight. I'm a saint, not a dog. Come on.
Well done.
Good on you.
But, generally, in fact, overwhelmingly supportive and good fun.
Well, it could change this Friday night because the match that you'll be coming on after is Collingwood and Sydney. And if they don't win Collingwood, there'll be a few little ferals around, I imagine.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be. Will absolutely be fun. Out of the footy, a few things bobbed up. They're terrible.
Hey, Kev, who's winning the footy tipping? Could you remind us of that?
Sorry, I just dropped out there, Brian.
Couple
of terrible injuries. The Brisbane boy who did his knee, and then Sam Doherty did his knee as well. So they're both out for 12 months. So that's a blow to both them.
It's sort of odd because Doherty did his knee before Coleman. So he was on the ground when Coleman went off because Doherty came back on. But it was an ACL, and sometimes those ACLs, you can actually play on with them for a bit. But you just wonder, you know, it was an innocuous sort of knock to the knee for Doherty, and you just wonder with his past history whether he'll play any footy again. Very sad.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Speaking of ACLs, how's your dog?
She's making an excellent recovery. We're just living in fear of the 50% chance she'll do the other move.
Will she be right? Will she be right for round eight?
Yeah, well, at the moment, she's kicking on her right paw, but we've just been a little bit careful with her.
Yeah. Bring her back through the twos, funny.
That's right.
Back through the Magoos, and just keep reminding the dog the slices over there in the corner. Just get your wits about you.
Well, I've got to say, Pickles is recovering quite well with her ACL. So the dogs are on the mend.
Very good. Can you go and get some pineapple juice for your throat? I reckon you've done a throat muscle.
I've got the Robert Kennedy Jr. happening tonight. No, I haven't had enough sleep and travelled, and I've worked really hard, Kev.
Oh, little Brian worked really hard. Oh,
I didn't get enough sleep.
What you do? You did what? Two? How many gigs you do on the weekend? And did two, didn't you?
Yeah, but yeah. I ended up being kind of homeless, and You know, I had to travel all around to find somewhere to sleep. And then I didn't sleep. And I got to the airport and I fell asleep at the airport. But fortunately, I had my boarding pass in my hand. And this lovely woman, Susan Harris, she's an eventist, she said, woke me up and said, you have to go. And then she got me an Uber and that, but I'd still be in Melbourne if it wasn't for this lovely woman.
There you go. Good on you, Susan. Thank you.
And that's why my throat is no good.
Yeah. Well, don't be sooking it up here. What? How long are you on the first gig? How long are you on stage for? 40 minutes?
Now, let's not get into the details. It's about the energy that you put in, Kev.
Oh, you're full of shit.
You sing Billy Idol for a while. This is what happens.
Well, you know, you had work on the weekend. Think of the poor King of Moomba, Peter Hellier. He got cancelled.
What?
He didn't get it. He didn't get to be the king. Well, he got to be the King of Moomba. He didn't get to go on the parade and do all that stuff.
Peter Hitchener.
No, Peter Hellier.
I've told you before about Peter Hellier.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was hoping you'd tell me again, Finny.
Yeah, well, he's killed more TV shows than Netflix.
Yep.
And now he's killed Moomba.
Yep. Moomba got cancelled, and we're blaming him, and I think we're well within our rights.
Nothing he's not used to.
Yes. Exactly. Geez, we've had some interesting off-field football headlines, the racism class action that is in the front page of the paper today. Alistair Clarkson was on the front page of the papers all last week. Then we had this ridiculous story that I don't even know where it came from about apparently the interstate clubs suggesting that we do a best of three grand final series. What are you making of the footy season thus far, Finey, in terms of how it's being covered? I was pleased to see that none of the commentators that I listened to over the weekend have changed their tune whatsoever, so the sound's going to be down on my TV mostly.
I'm surprised you're not going to the football expert first, but okay, Finey, off you go.
I mean, good to see that BT's still BT. In the Collingwood-Brisbane game, he had three goes at one player before he got it right. I can't remember who it was. It was very funny. But he finally got it right.
Him who he was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Had three goes before he got the right player.
Yeah.
First of all, it was a huge success, enormous success, that round zero, because there were four sellouts. And that was, you know, they'd have sellouts at Gold Coast and GWS, the SCG. Fantastic, you know. So I thought it worked really well.
So do I, actually, to be honest.
Yeah,
and who's number one on the ladder?
I've looked at the ladder.
Gold Coast is number one. Like me.
Yeah, well, then it's going to have about as much relevance in about 4 weeks' time, too.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, have they ever been number one before?
That's a good point. I don't know if they've ever been on top before.
That's probably a very good point.
So good luck. Gold Coast.
To be fair, it was half a round. I don't know whether you'd actually count it, but anyhow, it was less than half a round.
Let's just take what we got.
Fair enough. What about all this other stuff, Tony?
No, the other stuff. Look, what can I say? Phil Cracker, I became very good friends with, and just very hard to retrospectively go back in time. Yeah, I'm not sure about it. I probably am sure about it. I don't really think you can do that, but we've seen a lot of, in this woke world, of people going back and rewriting the rules. But I'm not saying that what went on was right, don't get me wrong, but no. I don't know whether there's anybody you can actually sue as a and claim was responsible for it.
Well, it's just, you can't sue society, can you?
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Very difficult too. But I'm not saying it was right, because he copped horrible abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know that.
Yeah. I mean, I was firsthand the year before when I raised his jumper. I was at Victoria Park. And what went on that day in the grandstand, because I was in that rush stand behind the goals, was so pitiful. And I actually stood up and had a go at people. And it was very, very nasty. It was horrible.
And it's still, I'll be honest, it still baffles me and surprises me and gobsmacks me that there's still a bit of it around.
Look, it's always going to be around.
Yeah.
You know, people find it very easy to hate. It's such a crazy world. It's so easy to label different races, people different to you. But I always go back to Shakespeare. And his quote is the truest. The closer the blood, the closer to bloody. When it comes to actually the worst people in your life, the people you want to kill, and sadly sometimes the people that are killed, it's almost always somebody who knows them, a relative or whatever. So you can hate people different from you, but I bet you most problems are created by people very, very close to you.
Yeah, it's true. In terms of
background and whatever. Anyhow.
I dare do all that become a man. Who dares do more be none? Shakespeare.
I was expecting My Little Angel from you, Brian, but never mind.
Yeah, William. Yeah, that's right.
The other question I wanted to ask you both, and you watched a bit of the footy, not a lot of the footy. I know you probably watched a lot more than both Brian and I did, Finey. Did you enjoy seeing the footy again, Brian, on the weekend? Just not forget that you got 20 points in the tipping and you're leading.
Yeah,
did you enjoy watching the footy?
Normally it takes about 4 or 5 weeks to get into it. But that Brisbane Carlton game was great. I just thought Carlton were gone, and to have that comeback and win by a point, it was so close. And I thought that was the one I really watched. And I thought it was great. It was really good. It got me excited.
Finally, your thoughts on the footy, just the pure and simple bloody footy.
Yeah, well, we started off with about the worst half of football you could possibly imagine.
It was bloody awful, wasn't it, that first half?
I mean, they were dropping catches with like the Pakistani flip court, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe some of the kicking, some of the marking. I know it was the greasy ball, but give me a break. Then Carlton-Brisbane was actually such a high-standard game. There were brilliant marks in it. Lincoln McCarthy, Joe Danaher took screamers. Great goals, great finish, amazing result, impossible win. But for me, the story of the round is we have got a very, very, very good team in this competition. How good are they?
Yeah, they are. Well, I was going to say before that, I think potentially the Gold Coast have got enough weaponry. They're going to cause some problems this year, the Gold Coast, for some teams that are not going to be expecting them to be as good. They're pretty bloody good in the midfield.
Sixth on the ladder.
I reckon Richmond are pretty terrible.
Yeah, I'm not discounting that.
I think we're dealing with, at the moment, a very poor team. Without Lynch and Martin, I mean, they're bottom four. But GWS, look, they've got a brilliant back line because Taylor and Buckley are fantastic tall backmen. I mean, their midfield is irresistible. Tom Green.
He's good, well, isn't he?
He must be the top five players in the comp. He's a star. He's an absolute star.
Yeah, he's good.
You've got Kelly. You've got Canilio. You've got a very, very good midfield.
Daniels is an underrated little player too, you know.
Yeah, very good.
Yep.
That we saw some glimpses from the number one draft pick, Aaron Cadman. He's a beauty.
Yep.
I mean, Jesse Hogan's a good target. Look, they're just a very good team all around the ground. Toby Green was probably the most dangerous forward in the comp, really. Yeah, they're very good. So it was an interesting first round. Now, I don't want to stop talking about footy, but your favourite team, they were unbelievable on the weekend.
Melbourne Storm?
Yeah. To keep the premiers, the all-powerful Penrith, to keep them off the scoreboard, well, that is just unbelievable.
And every time you kept, well, I watched the whole game, because Brian and I did, I think, a similar thing, watched the first quarter of Carlton and then went, oh, this is going to be a bloodbath. I turned over, I watched the Storm, watched all the Storm, then flicked back and, you know, discovered that the Carlton game had come alive. No, they were terrific, and they were. I mean, without Cameron Munster, I thought, oh, not good. But that young bloke they've got playing 5'8" at the moment, he went well. Hughes is great. Craig Bellamy is the best coach in the country at putting a team, whoever it is, you run out on that ground with their jumper on, and there's an expectation of performance that he just will not accept anything less.
Well, Ange Postecoglou or Craig Bellamy?
Well, I would say based on longevity, Bellamy.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
They're good, they're unearthing some stars too, Finny, the Storm.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Unearthing some stars.
I wouldn't really know who they are.
They always do. Remember when Israel Folau got injured? And they put this bloke called Greg Inglis in. Wow.
Yeah, every team, whoever they play against, there's always at least three or four blokes on the opposition side that you know because they used to be at the Storm. And the salary cap squeezed them out.
And when they recruit, it's really about their family and their morals and shit. They really take that into account. You know, what kind of family the kid come from. And I don't know, whatever they're doing, it works. But I find that interesting that they're interested in the family and the background of whatever project they grab.
Yeah, well, it's a culture thing. You talk to blokes like Frank Panisi, who's been their football manager for, 20-odd years, and they just have an expectation of the sort of quality of person that comes to their club needs to tick all these boxes. And if you don't tick them, you don't get to go there.
And there's nothing better, every sporting club in the world knows, to start the season off well, and they've won their last 22 round one clashes.
Isn't that just an amazing statistic?
Frightening.
For 22 years, at the start of every year, they've won the first game. God, I don't know off the top of my head in the last 22 years how many the Doggies have won, but I'd be surprised if it's double figures. The Saints would probably be the same, and Essendon would probably be the same.
Do you think the air principle could come into play here? We need Melbourne to get off to a good start. It's not a rugby state.
No. Assume it's rugby.
Okay.
It's the air principle, but it's slightly different, Brian. It's not the Aussie rules. Assume it's rigged. This is the assume it's rugby.
All right, fine.
Happy with that?
Mark, fine.
Yep. Now, I think that's all our footy done. Done our cricket, done our footy.
Good people want any more information about the football than what you guys have just given?
No, they want to know who's on top of the tipping ladder, Brian.
Oh, well, I don't know. Let me
go to the scoreboard and check the scores. We come to the halfway mark of tonight's episode of Ruck and Roll. Let's see. Oh, yeah, look, Brian's on top with 20. Fine, he's on three. Kev hasn't scored yet.
Ooh.
Right. I'm just, I know your voice is giving you some problems, Brian, so I'm just sort of filling in the void that where you would normally be lining
I think
up.
I think if I talk down here, it might be better.
Yeah, well,
I'm very interested for this week's tips because I reckon Brian's already going to start going for the finish line and not be so crazy.
This is where Brian gets in front and what happens, and Finny and I sit back and watch this, and if you haven't seen it before, it's quite a lovely spectacle because all of a sudden, Captain I Don't Give a Shit, who, just throws darts at the wall, then becomes Mr. Conservative.
Correct.
And starts covering his ass and protecting his lead.
And that's where it all goes pear-shaped.
Like a very bad EPL team who's 1-0 up and at the halfway mark of the first half and starts putting the bus up down the back, thinking that's going to be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard more poor losers than these two?
No. No. I'm not bitter and twisted. I'm twisted and bitter. Now, let's get to the tips. Then we'll get into we'll do the tips first, then we'll do the Death Eliza, and then we'll do the chart. Righto. Thursday night, MCG. Now, this is the traditional start to the season. It's Carlton and Richmond. Richmond coming off very poor performance last week. Carlton coming off a very spectacular fist-pumping, crowd-jumping, four-points-pumping performance for the Blues. So if you pick them, you get 3. If you pick Richmond, you get 7. And you get taken out the back and beaten because only someone with no brains could possibly be tipping Richmond this week.
So, I'm not happy about the fist bumping.
Well, I think they should. With that in mind, I'm putting myself down for 3 points for Carlton.
Did you see Cruising with Al Pacino?
Cruising?
Cruising, the movie.
Wasn't that the homosexual film?
There's a bit of fist pumping going on in that one, thanks. And I don't want to know about it.
Well, I think it was apt. who are you tipping, Brian? Carlton for 3 or Richmond for 7?
Go the filth.
The filth.
Blues.
Yes. Yeah. Finey, you're a man of sane mind and, not off with the Pixies. You're off with Carlton too, so it's Carlton all around there for that one. Friday night, it is Collingwood and Sydney at the MCG. The MCG is getting to work over this weekend. So Friday night, 7:50, Collingwood take on Sydney at the MCG. I'm going to stick with the Pies and go for them. It's only worth 4 points, 6 for Sydney, 4 for Collingwood. Brian?
No, Sydney away, no good. Pies will be embarrassed, so Pies for me.
Finey, you're the voice of reason here.
Collingwood.
That's Collingwood all round. We head to the MCG on Saturday afternoon. Very interesting game, this one at 1:45. It is Essendon, your boys, Brian, up against the Hawks. One of the great rivalries of all time, these two. Maybe have been watered down of recent years but because of their ladder positions and success, but in the heyday, this was on.
Both teams are shit these days, kids.
Well, they're not both shit, but they're both worth 5. It doesn't matter who you pick, you get 5 points. If they win, of course.
Well, you know where I'm at.
I think we'll put an E here for you, Brian. You'll be going Essendon. I think Essendon probably because there's a couple of blokes out of that Hawthorn lineup who I think are very important to them, who they needed to have early doors. So I'll go for Essendon. Finey?
I'm going for Hawthorn.
Hawthorn? Can I ask why?
Yeah, because Essendon are no good. I mean, Essendon have got Ridley out. That's a big out for them. I don't know. I don't know. Look, it's a line ball division.
Yeah, haven't got credibility with you yet.
Well, I think the real problem is that Redmond's had a haircut.
Well.
It's just not working for me.
Okay. The other game Saturday is in.
I can't have it.
What?
We will refer to him as Native American man, not red man.
Yeah. Okay. Giants are at home again at NG Stadium at 4:35 Saturday afternoon. They're playing North Melbourne. You couldn't back North Melbourne with bad money, I wouldn't have thought. So am I putting the Giants down for everybody?
Don't even ask the question.
It's only worth 1 point. North Melbourne are 9.
That'll do. I'll take the... Oh, 9?
9. 9 for North.
Nah. It's I'm taking the 1.
Okay. Cats are at home for the first time for the season at GMHBA Stadium, 7:30 Saturday night when they take on your Saints, Finey. If the Cats win, 3 points. If St Kilda wins, 7 points. I'm going Geelong at home, not with any great conviction, I have to say, but it's at home. It's Geelong, and that usually helps them. Brian?
Screw the pussies.
Does that mean you're going St Kilda?
That's right.
St Kilda for the 7. Finey, your boys for the 7?
Yep. I'll take St Kilda.
St Kilda for the 7, okay. Now, at Heritage Bank Stadium on the Gold Coast on Saturday night at 8:10, the Gold Coast Suns are playing Adelaide. The Suns will get you 4. The Crows will get you 6. The Suns are going very well. It is at home. You'd have to pick them, I think, so I'm going to. Brian?
I can get young Kevin.
Gold Coast Suns for Brian. And Finey, are you on Adelaide early in the year or are you thinking that they're going to be another one of the strugglers?
Oh, no, they're a good team, Adelaide. So are Gold Coast. I'm going to go Adelaide.
Adelaide for Finey is a couple of different ones here. Melbourne take on the Bulldogs Sunday. First, another game at the MCG, the fourth game for the weekend of the G. Melbourne at home. coming off a loss, take on the Bulldogs. Melbourne will get you 4. The Doggies will get you 6. So obviously, a man who knows his figures and numbers, I'm going for the Doggies. Brian?
Melbourne, go Dogs.
Thank you, Brian. Finey. Oh, goodness me.
I'm going to go Melbourne.
Melbourne. Okay. Adelaide Oval on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Port Adelaide will take on the West Coast Eagles. 2 for Port Adelaide, 8 for the West Coast. Port Adelaide for me, Brian.
Yeah, the 8 points is tempting, but come on. No, they're rubbish. Airport West can beat them. No, got to go to
this time last year, you would have jumped at the 8 points. You would have taken the 8 points. You would have not worried about it, and you would have lived to tell the tale.
Listen, Kev, it's about this year. It's 2024. I'm winning the footy competition. I'm the most accurate tipper in the country at the moment. Let's just go with that.
Hang on, I'll just cut through the bullshit there. Finally, who would you be tipping in this one? I would have thought Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide.
Right. Final game is in Perth at Optus Stadium at 6:50 on Sunday afternoon. Frio take on Brisbane. 4 for Frio, 6 for Brisbane to win away against Frio. Bloody hell, sad game to pick. I reckon this is the hardest game of the weekend to pick, to be honest. Brisbane weren't bad, but they weren't great. And I haven't seen any of Frio this year.
So I tell you what, nobody can miss a goal like he can.
Oh, Joey Danaher was pretty good in his time. He's improved a bit. Joey was good. Yeah. I'll tell you, Aaron Norton's pretty good at missing the bloody things too.
But the sports scientists won't let them practice kicking for goals. And, you win so many games if you can kick accurately.
If you were now I'll put this question to you before you get your tips. If you were a full forward, if you were Eric Hipwood or you were Aaron Norton, wouldn't you be going to the coach and saying, mate, can you tell the sports scientist to piss right off and let me practice my goal kicking?
Yeah. I'll be saying, and get Matthew Lloyd down here to teach me how to kick properly. This is what my job is. Like, don't worry about the other shit. I need to practice my goal kicking. That's what I'm here to do.
Yep. Finally, you got a theory on why they don't tell them to piss off and let them practice?
Well, look, I heard Harry Mackay did a huge amount of work on his goal kicking, so I think they do practice it. But I think if you're a bad shot, you're a bad shot, and it's often not the fact that you can't kick. It's that you can't handle the pressure when it's important.
Oh, it's like putting in golf. You can do it 100 times and you'll put 100 in, then when it's for $1.5 million, all of a sudden you put it 3 feet wide.
Yeah, it's a whole, there's a whole mental side to it.
Yep.
Didn't you say, Kev, that fast bowlers at training are only allowed to bowl 12 balls at full pace?
Oh, I don't know what they do these days.
They're not allowed to go full bang on.
Oh, they do monitor them. I'm not sure what the numbers are. I know. But if you're a fast bowler, you do that yourself anyway. You don't need some bullfed to be telling you.
I heard that at training, I don't know where I heard it, but they're only allowed to bowl 12 balls full on.
Okay.
And then the rest, they bowl all night, but it's just about technique and only 12 at full place because it might hurt them.
In the nets, all you're trying to do basically is get your rhythm. It's just get your rhythm, make sure you're hitting the spot on the crease and all the bits are moving in the right way. You're not really trying to juice it up too much unless you've got some smart ass up the other end who's decided he wants to try and hit you out of the nets and then you decide you'll let him have a couple. Is that how it worked at your net training, Finey?
I liked hitting them out of the net. They didn't used to juice it up. They'd come off 16 yards.
Yeah, no, so I hated that because that used to stuff me up as a bowler. I never bowled off, 18 or 16 yards to frighten the batsman. That was just stupid. I never agreed with that. Anyway, I'm going for Frio to beat Brisbane. Brian?
I think Brisbane's ego is going to be pretty bruised. They'll be pretty pissed off about what happened with Carlton. I think they'll win.
For the 6, and finally, the final word on Finey's final siren here for Lenny's footy tips, beautiful, beautiful food in North Caulfield?
Brisbane.
Brisbane. There you go. Well, we are all over the shop this week. Finey's taken quite a few different. Brian and I are fairly similar, but we'll see how that pans out. And just a recap of that ladder again, as it sits right now in Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition.
$50,000 on the line here.
Yeah, you don't win it in round one or round zero. Brian on 20, Finey on 3, Kev on 0. Time for the Deathalyzer, Brian.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for the Deathalyzer. Deathalyzer.
They need to put you in there, Brian, at this rate. only a couple. Now, you've got one that you want to bring up, Brian. We'll get to the two that I've got. Only got two. Duncan Fernley, the Worcester cricketer who went on and made some very fine bats, the Duncan Fernley bat. He passed away at the age of 83. What was your bat of choice, Finey, in your heyday? Were you a Grey Nick man? Were you a Gunn and Moore?
I used them all. I used a Duncan Fernley at one stage. It broke. I think I preferred Grey Nichols, but I tried them all.
It's a Stuart Surridge man. I like the Stuart Surridge bats.
Yeah, the big jumbo was too heavy for me.
Yeah, I didn't mind the jumbo, but then if I was going to be out there for any length of time, I was going to be able to carry it. So,
I had a Kim Hughes bat. That's a Slazenger.
Yep.
But yeah, mainly. Grey Nichols.
Yeah, I think Grey Nick was the number one choice around the old suburban cricket. And Steve Lawrence passed away at the age of 88. Now, this is the Steve Lawrence who was Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet fame. He was the singer who had, you know, Go Away, Little Girl, and a whole lot of hits. And was in what movie? He was in. He had a big part. I think it was in the Blues Brothers.
Go away, little girl.
Yeah, really. A good singer. Good singer.
That's something Rolf Harris should have sung.
88 he was when he passed away. Now, Brian, you've got one, a bloke who was a drummer with you.
Yeah.
Jim Cowling.
Yeah, Jim Cowling, he was 59. He was a great drummer, a great guy, and I just couldn't believe it when I heard that he apparently just died in his sleep. That's all I know. Glenn A. Baker wrote about it. I don't know that he was, had huge moments in the sun, but he was a consistent guy within the industry and a great drummer and, more importantly, a beautiful human being, a great guy. And I'm still kind of trying to process it. It just doesn't seem, this guy, I was talking to John Kirk this afternoon, and I thought, well, we should be dead before him. But thank God we're not. But, really, really sad. Great drummer and, he contributed to Australian music in a big way. So thank you, Jim.
Condolences
to Julie and all the family. And, rock on.
All right. Close it up for another week.
Well, looks like you made it again. You weren't in it this week. Let's hope you're not in it next week, because that concludes
And if anyone has any correspondence into the Deathalyzer, please address it to Brian on the Facebook pages. Now, let's get to our chart.
Oh, Jesus.
March 14, 1969. Finey, you've obviously, as I've done, had a very, very good look at this 4IP International, which made me laugh, the International Top 40. Including the Sound Guy picks. That was when they were Sound Guys before in the 70s when we became Good Guys.
This is where the chart went to New Guinea.
Yeah, don't know. I don't know.
International.
4IP at that stage was a little station in Ipswich that was, batting above its weight and creeping into the Brisbane market and playing lots of, top 40 songs and stuff and was still an Ipswich station that was, trying to be jumping up and down with the big boys.
Oh, I liked the little Battler.
Yeah, no, they were good. They finished up, in the early part of the 70s, ruling the roost. And when I went there in 74,
You killed it.
Yeah, well, by the end of the '70s, we killed it. And FM radio helped that, but no, they were still. I'll be honest and say, the first shift I did there, I did mid dawns for a little while, but then I did nights. I can't remember what our rating figure was at night because it was ridiculous. It was 40 or 50% or something stupid like
that. As soon as you get off, that's why you did.
Yeah. No, I was there for 9 years.
And then where did you go?
To 3XY.
Yeah. As soon as you get off to XY.
I had 10 years in Queensland radio before I got to go to Melbourne. So I did my apprenticeship. Now, finally, what was the first thing that struck you about this chart?
Well, I always like picking out a couple of songs and doing a bit of research on them.
What have you chosen?
Well, Fox on the Run by Manfred Mann. Oh,
love it.
Great song. Not to be confused with the completely different song "Fox on the Run" by Sweet.
Yep. So
that's not a cover; that's a completely different song. But I thought that was I really liked the song.
Like a fox. Yeah, it was a good song.
Got to number five on the UK charts, so it charted very well. I don't know where it ended up on the Australian charts.
Don't think it was that big here.
Yeah, I don't think it was. But, yeah, so I think that was...
It sort of goes, she walked to the corner down by the river.
It's a
to die like a fox on the run. She's selling Joe Cocker.
That's it. If Linda Blair sang that song, that's how it would sound.
Yeah, I'll get the spewler happening later.
Thank you. Good choice.
And then, so I do like that song. You know, as I said, in a chart that for its era had a lot of songs that I don't like at all, there's a fair bit of bubblegum in that chart.
Lots.
I mean, go through that top 10 again. See, there's some.
Okay. So we got Indian Giver by the 1910 Fruit Gun Company, one of the worst bubblegum songs ever.
So terrible bubblegum.
Yep. Monsieur Dupont, which was Sandy Shaw's little kind of Monsieur Dupont. It's just a very ordinary song. Feeling So Good by the Archies. Well, they were as sugary as anything you'd possibly find. Yep,
there's bubblegum.
Games People Play by Joe South. Good song. Build Me Up Buttercup by the Foundations. Just a pop song. Good pop.
That's a king of bubblegum, that is.
Oh, not really. Stand By Your Man, Tammy Wynette, another country song. Touch Me by the Doors. Edge of Reality, Elvis Presley. Something's Happening by Herman's Hermits. And Crimson and Clover by Tommy James.
Yeah, so I had a look at Stand By Your Man. Now, you said that Steve Lawrence was in the Blues Brothers. Of course, Stand By Your Man, there was a great rendition of Stand By Your Man by the Blues Brothers band, Jake and Elwood, when they ended up at Bob's Country Bunker.
Was that the one where they were throwing things and they were performing behind a cage?
Yeah, behind a cage.
Yes.
You know, and they started playing their hard rocking music and the crowd went berserk and tried to kill them.
That's right.
They won them over with Rawhide.
That's right.
And then when they sung Stand By Your Man, all the tough cowboys that wanted to kill them were crying.
That's right. Yes. Very good.
So it was a great rendition of Stand By Your Man. Now, that was a song by Tammy Wynette. So I think CMT, is that the famous country music magazine?
CMT, yes.
Yeah. So CMT released their 100 greatest country songs of all time.
Was that in the top five? Would it be?
Where do you think Stand By Your Man was?
Oh, probably number one.
Number one.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's pretty highly regarded by the country music folk. If CMT has it rated number one all-time country music song.
It is big.
Do I love it as a song? No, but it is iconic. So yeah. I thought it was worth a mention that it's the number one country music song of all time. That's saying something.
Absolutely. Now, is that the two songs you wanted to feature?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yep. I'll read you the lyrics of one of the songs I want to talk about. You talk like Marlene Dietrich and you dance like Zizi Jomer. Your clothes are all made by Melbourne and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. Yes, there are.
You live in a fancy
apartment off the Boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
What a wanker.
But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head.
Your head.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne. And the painting you stole from Picasso, your loveliness goes on and on. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. When you go on your summer vacation, you go to Juan Lipons with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs. And when the snow falls on your crack. It doesn't rhyme with anything. Stop it. And when the snow falls, you're found in St. Moritz with the others of the just jet set. And you sip your Napoleon brandy, but you never get your lips wet. No, you don't. No, you don't.
On your legs and your crack.
Your name, it is heard in high places. You know the Aga Khan. He sent you a racehorse for Christmas and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh. Ha ha ha. That's my favourite bit. They say that when you get married, it'll be to a millionaire, but they don't realise where you came from, and I wonder if they really care or give a damn.
Give a damn.
No, they don't. On your crack.
I remember the back streets of Naples, two children begging in rags, both touched. Touched with the burning ambition to shake off their lowly born tags, they tried. So look into my face, Marie Claire, and remember just who you are. Then go and forget me forever. But I know you still bear the scar deep inside. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you f***ing deserve to. F*** you. You deserve the scar. You've been carrying on around f***ing town, hanging out with these people, doing cocaine.
Shocking. Thank you, Al Pacino. Where do you go to, my lovely, by Peter Sarstedt?
It's such a beautiful melody, and it's just a song that just unravels itself into shit because of the lyrics. It's simple. Horrible lyrics.
Yeah, but it's so memorable. If you could pick any line out of that song and say it to someone who's around, they go, oh, yeah, that's that Where Do You Go To My Lovely thing. It was a bit train smashing.
It starts off good. You know, where do you want to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Okay, cool. But it's like somebody, they make a good impression for 10 minutes and then they keep telling you, oh, actually, he's a f-wit. And that's exactly what unravels in this song. I love the melody. I love playing it on guitar. But then when I actually started playing it on guitar and went through the lyrics, I said, oh, he's really f***ed this up.
Can I sing other lyrics to this lovely melody that he's...
Yeah, it's exactly... You know, the first couple of verses are up and it just goes too far.
Yep, yep. No, very quirky for its time. He followed that up with a thing called Frozen Orange Juice, which was just a ridiculously stupid song. But
it had better lyrics.
Oh, yeah. They actually finished up, him and his two brothers, and he had two brothers and three sisters, I think. They finished up performing as the Sarstedt brothers. But his older brother, Eden, whose real name I think was Clive, made a name for himself as Eden Kane and had a massive hit in the early part of the 60s with a thing called Boys Cry. But really interesting, Peter Sarstedt you could do the circuit of the world. I mean, he passed away a few years ago, but you could do the circuit of the world just performing that song.
Well, Eden Kane.
Who were they? What was the name of the band? Was that Ray Shaw and Tony Shaw?
No, the Sarstedt brothers.
I thought you said the Sarstedt brothers.
Yes, it's very, very similar to that.
Did Eden Kane ever get past the freaking Old Testament or what?
Well, he took his name from Citizen Kane and the gospel as well. So he became Eden Kane when they didn't like the Clive Sarstedt name, or the Robin Sarstedt, whatever his real name was.
I think he'd go root himself, Kev.
So that's one of my song observations. My other ones, the Aussie ones in this are terrific. Such a Lovely Way by The Group. Relax Me by The Groove. The Group and The Groove used to get mixed up a bit. But you mentioned Bubblegum, Finey. Flying Circus's Hayride was just pure bubblegum. The Zoots, One Times, Two Times, Three Times, Four, pure bubblegum. And there's one song in the hit picks I wanted to mention, which is Gravitation by Paddy Amphlett. Little Paddy, who we've got on Life O'Brien.
Special Sauce.
This case. Bacon. No, not cheap. That Paddy, you idiot. Comes out on Wednesday with Little Paddy. We had a terrific talk to her about all her songs and
it was great.
Her time in Vietnam and all sorts of stuff. So she was terrific. Now, your thoughts on this chart, Brian? What did you pick out?
Well, I'm pleased that you picked out what you picked out. I forgot what I was going to say, but no, I'm going to go for number one and number three.
Right, Crimson and Clover by Tommy James.
It's the first time I ever heard Tremolo. It's the effect. It's like, what?
Yep.
Don't hardly know. And I thought it was great. You know, Robin Gibb ended up just doing it by himself. But I love that song. And I think it's a really cool lyric. You know, I don't hardly know her, but I think I could love her. You know, that's a universal lyric that doesn't date. And I thought it was pretty out there, you know, production-wise for the time. Yeah, it's like, wow. So, yeah, that song's always had a special place for me.
And before you mention number three, I just want to say that Tommy James, I got up in the middle of the night and had an interview with him a couple of weeks back. I'm going to play that on Life of Brian soon too. He had massive – he had about 12 top five hits in America and about the same amount here. He is a massive star. So you'll enjoy that when we get that one up on Life of Brian as well. Now, number three, Brian?
Well, I knew the song, but I was playing in a band called The Clints. And they were called The Clints because, you know, you wrote the word Clint and it can look different.
We know.
So we were a country and Elvis band. And Paul Bell from Little Crows in it, Carl Manuel from Bear Garden was in it. Anyway, you know, we had a great time. We laughed and all the time. Anyway, they said, let's do Edge of Reality. Paul Bell said, let's do Edge of Reality. I go, what? And then we tried it. I thought, oh, shit, this is really good for my voice. And then, you know, as I got into the song, you realize this is kind of Elvis doing Sergeant Pepper. You know, it's like, you know, he's trying to talk about drugs, the edge of reality, you know.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's so shit. But Elvis, you know, trying to be cool about taking acid and shit. Yeah, great. So edge of reality for me.
Yep. An interesting chart. There's, I think in the end I did the stats. I think there's 8 Aussies in it in the top 40. None in the top 10. A couple of Brisbane bands in this chart. We'll put the chart up on the social media platforms. The Avengers were a Brisbane band who charted on the local charts. And Johnny Blanchfield was a Brisbane boy.
Now, wait a second. A band ripped off the Marvel comics and called themselves the Avengers.
Yeah.
Nobody in the Uncanny X-Men would stand for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's that kind of that. See, you get away with that in 1969. Try that stuff in the 80s and you soon got bounced by Marvel Comics. Or you might retrospectively. That's the way they do it these days. The Avengers and Johnny Blanchfield, a couple of Brizzy acts that were in there as well. So that's the international top 40. It'll be up on the social media when you hear this from March 14, 1969. A very good John year.
John Blanchfield?
Yeah, Johnny.
He made Mondo Rock.
Yeah, a good fellow, John. Lovely fella.
Yeah.
Still alive and well and living in Melbourne and probably listening to this as we speak because I got in touch with him a little while back about someone I was chasing and he helped me and he's still a good bloke, Johnny.
He charged me a fortune to hire Gavin Wood for my
countdown
play.
He's a good man. And that is rock and roll. We've got to go to the news. So before we do, Finey, any final thoughts from you? You'll be on the radio this Friday night after Collingwood and the Sydney game. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that'll be good. But I do have just one more thing.
Yes.
On Saturday, I did something very different. I went and visited a mate of mine who's in prison.
Oh, God.
Show off your tats.
Well, they were there for all to see. Yeah. He's in a prison called Durrangal Prison.
Yeah.
Which is 20 minutes out of Shepparton. It's a prison farm, minimum security. It's got no fences.
Goodness.
Which is, no, they're sort of... It's when you're close to getting released.
Yeah,
so it was very interesting.
All right. Well, we might do more on that next week because we've got to get to the news and we've got to go. But we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Enjoy your week, boys. Here's the news.
Good night.
You've just experienced rock and roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.